I have one announcement to make for Al-Anon. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problem of living with an alcoholic and to help others to do the same. We believe alcoholism is an illness which can be arrested, and that changed family attitudes can often aid recovery. The only requirement for membership is that there be a relative or friend with a drinking problem. There are no dues for memberships. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution. Does not engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any cause. Our primary purpose is to practice the Al-Anon program so that we may help others with similar problems, aid the alcoholic through understanding and growing spiritually ourselves. I met our speaker yesterday afternoon, and after talking with her for a while, I think we are all in for a real treat this morning. And at this time, I will give you Priscilla C. from Rolling Hills, California.
Thank you, Catherine. I am Priscilla from Southern California and very happy to be here. Good morning. I was thinking as I was sitting there, it has been so delightful and such a privilege to be asked to speak in the South. I've been in Atlanta just the one time, as you do, in and out of town for a couple of days, and really haven't seen the country. And it's been such a privilege to be asked to be here, and when Willowise asked me to come and to come on Thursday for the full time, I just appreciate that immensely, because it has given me some time to get acquainted with many of you and also to begin to calm down and relax a little bit after the rat race. As I was sitting here, I was thinking it takes about 2 or 3 days to unwind. I'm glad I had that opportunity before I had to talk this morning and talk about peace of mind and serenity and what have you, and not to have any, you know. So, Louise, I'm glad you asked me to come on Thursday. I have had that opportunity, but it has been just marvelous. It's so wonderful to go to the different places and have instant friendships, and I think any of us that have that privilege really are very grateful and realize what it is. I've been around a long, long time, and because of that, I realize that I take some advantages, and I hope that you will bear with me, because in a sense, I would like to tell you what Al-Anon means to me, how I look at Al-Anon. I realize that I'm supposed to say what I've been like, what happened, and what I'm like now. And I'm sure that there are many of you that really couldn't care less. I think particularly the alcoholic. I'm always aware of this, but I'm glad of the privilege to talk about Al-Anon in and of itself. I didn't have Al-Anon before my husband, Gordon, came into Alcoholics Anonymous. It was at Gordon's second AA meeting that I began to realize what all of this was about. Gordon happened to have lost his job. This was the thing that precipitated him into Alcoholics Anonymous. And he went to an Alano club on a Monday morning where he met the man who became his sponsor. And then the man who worked a graveyard shift said to Gordon, "There's a meeting here tonight." And that was it, and Gordon went to that meeting that night. We had been having a drought in Southern California, and that night we had the greatest flood we had had in many a year. And Gordon walked out of the house in this pouring rain, went down to the Alano Club. We were both very frightened, I know that I was. I didn't know what it was all about yet, and certainly Gordon didn't either. The next day, the man that he had met in the Alano Club, because he worked a graveyard shift, came by our home in the late morning, and I met him for the first time, and he's delighted. I didn't realize I could, and Gordon didn't either, really. When he had come home from the meeting that first night, I remember him saying to me, "I don't know what it's all about, Priscilla, but I'm going to go back again tomorrow." Well, I thought all of you came into AA this way, and I accepted that. And he also remarked that they drank coffee after the meeting and had donuts, and he had said to somebody, a woman who said, "Would you like a cup of coffee, Gordon?" And he said, "No, thank you," but because he felt that he couldn't hold it, you know, and get it to his mouth. And she said, "That's all right, dearie, you'll learn to like it." Well, that was all I heard about that AA meeting that night that Gordon had gone to. But I was so happy to be asked, and Gordon was glad to have me go, so the two of us alone went to the meeting the second night, which was my first contact of any kind with Alcoholics Anonymous. It was at the Woman's Club in Inglewood, and I remember, very nice meeting, and I remember thinking, you know, as I walked into there, well, I wonder what this is all about. I was very glad to go and walked in. Well, everybody was very friendly and warm, as they always are, I'm sure, in an AA meeting. But we had no more gotten in the door than I hear this woman's voice, "Oh, Gordon!" And I, well, for heaven's sake, you know, she came flying across the room and greeted us. Well, I must hasten to tell you that he had met her because her mother was taking therapy treatments on a broken hand, and Gordon was also because he had had an accident, and that's where he met that lady. And they both ended up in Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, that's his story, and I've always believed him. That was the first time that I had seen the Serenity Prayer, or at least the first time it meant anything to me, but I think it was the first time I had ever seen the Serenity Prayer alongside the fireplace in this AA meeting. They had a leader and a co-leader, a man and a woman. It was a participation group, and people got up and spoke, hopefully for 5 minutes, as many as they could get from the floor. It was the first time I had heard the 12 steps, and I remember thinking, well, that's what the problem is. And it must have been here, you know, we were powerless over alcohol. But the thing to me, and this is what is important, that came out of this meeting, that among the participants, there were four women who talked, as well as this woman co-leader. Now, when I walked into that meeting that night, I walked in with a drunk. And I thought that all drunks drank in bars, because that's how Gordon drank. But the four women that talked, three of them were housewives and mothers, and they didn't even drink in bars. One of them called herself a dishpan drunk. It was the first time that I had ever heard that expression. And we later became very close friends. She and her husband were both on the program. And she took care of her children, was very concerned about her children. And that's how I learned about alcoholism being an illness. This is why I bring it up. This is what impressed me. I never had any quarrel with it. Because as those women talked, I thought, well, that's how I felt. I have felt like that. And I have always felt this way, that I'm no different than anybody else, except that if I take a drink, I'm not going to proceed to get drunk unless I choose to. But I'm very glad that I didn't have any quarrel with the fact that alcoholism is a disease, and because I know this creates a problem for many of us when we can't accept this, and I have never questioned it, and I have nothing but affirmed it ever since, that it is as an illness. It was at this meeting that I was invited to Al-Anon. Elaine, came up to me and said, Priscilla, would you like to go to an Al-Anon meeting? And she had to explain to me what it was. And I said, well, I'd be very happy to. And I went because I thought it was very nice of her to ask me, and everybody was very friendly, and I had the time and could get there and would be glad to go. And I did. It happened to be a day meeting, and I think it fell within a day or two of this particular meeting. And I didn't know at the time, that morning, before the meeting, Elaine called me to see if I was going, and I thought, well, that's strange. I told her I would go. I didn't know what she was getting at. So, as I say, I did go to the meeting. It happened to be a meeting where they brought sandwiches and had a little lunch before the meeting, so it was extra festive and friendly in this sense, and I enjoyed being there. And after all, my husband had been sober for 3 days, and everything was fine. And I went to the meeting. The thing that stays in my mind from that particular meeting was, I don't know what the subject might have been the third step, because they were talking about prayer. And this one girl spoke up and she said, you know, we've had some neighbors that just never did water their lawn, and this just bugged me no end. And I prayed and prayed, and you know, one day someone over there and watered that lawn. And I thought, oh Lord, with all my problems, you know, she's talking about watering a lawn and it was an answer to a prayer. And this is what I came home from that meeting with. Other than the friendliness, and I was so glad to be there and be out, and my husband sober, and that was my first Al-Anon meeting. Gordon and I went to an AA meeting every night, with the exception of the Stag meeting on a Thursday night, and that was the night, and you Al-Anons will know how I felt. Boy, I could take a shower, sit down and watch a television and relax. And know that character was sober. That was one of the best evenings that I ever had in my life, was that first Stag meeting. Other than that, we went to meetings every night, and I got a great deal out of the AA meetings. The next Al-Anon meeting fell on a night where there was an AA discussion group in one room and Al-Anon in the other, in the YMCA in the Inglewood, California area. And I, you know, look forward to this. This is what I was supposed to do on that night. I'd go in one room and Gordon would go in the other, and this was fine. Although I looked for Elaine to see her pretty smiling face, and she was there, and I found out later that wasn't her regular meeting, but she went there because she knew I'd be looking for her. This was Al-Anon to me, and I've always remembered that. And then I can't tell you anything more about that particular meeting. But as I said, Gordon wasn't working, so each day, we were sitting in the breakfast nook in the kitchen over a cup of coffee, and we were talking to one another, communicating with one another. We might discuss maybe who we met, something about the meeting, and he was sober each day, and he'd been pretty much an everyday day drinker. But I always had the feeling, if I knew just what was the right thing to say and what not to say, I'd feel a lot better. I didn't want to rock the boat. And I wasn't shaking all over or anything, but inside I thought, if I just, what can you do? You know, just what can you do? And I don't want to do anything wrong. So this had been going on. It's hard to tell when you look back, but I would say maybe a couple of weeks. And one morning, late morning, Gordon said to me, Priscilla, I'm going to go down and say hi to Dad. Well, Dad still is the man who owns the bar where Gordon had spent the last 7 years of our life at that time. He was pretty much a one-bar drinker, you know, and he'd hide his car eventually around the back, and sometime he'd stay all night there, you know. And this was where he was going to go. Well, now, obviously, I didn't drop dead, but I did everything but. My stomach tied up in a knot. And I thought, how can he go down to that lousy joint after he's met all of these nice people and he hasn't been drinking and he's been sober, you know? And then I thought to myself, if I have to go on like this when he's sober and I'm feeling like this, it just isn't worth it. I'm sick and tired of looking at that man and wondering if he's happy or if he's sad, or if he's going to sneak out the back door. I have just had it. All of this was going through my mind, and you'll know how I felt. I was talking to myself and what I'm going to say when he gets home, you know, and the whole bit, you know, and there I was. I was even standing when he told me this in a room where I could look out on the street out in front of the house. And it was that same room where, as this thing progressed, first it would be like 5 p.m. when all the other husbands and fathers on the block were coming home for dinner, and why couldn't mine? Then I would be in that same room like about 7 or 8 and think, if he just come home so he can get enough sleep so he can go to work in the morning. Then I would be there like 1 o'clock in the morning. Then I would go out and sit on the front step and watch the car's lights coming down and pray, let the next one be his, let the next one be his. And I was in that same position, really. All of this just overwhelmed me, you know. Well, while this was going on, and Gordon had left to say hi to Dad, his sponsor drove up. It was late morning again. And Harry drove up in front of the house. And I went to the door, and I opened the door, and I said, Harry, am I glad to see you? I need some AA. I remember saying, I didn't say Al-Anon. I said, I need some AA. And Harry came in. And I know I had never greeted him like that before, because I think it's about the only second time I had ever seen that man. And he's smaller than I, and he must have just been really, you know, overwhelmed as I opened the door and greeted him to come in. And then I told him what Gordon had done. And he said, well, Priscilla, he left here sober, didn't he? And I said, well, yes. He said, well, why shouldn't he come home sober? Well, that was a good question. Didn't mean much, but it stopped me, you know? And about that time, Gordon came in. I don't think Harry and I had even gone into the living room, and Gordon came back. This must have all happened like within a half an hour, 45 minutes. And Gordon came in the house, and of course he was just delighted to see his sponsor that he didn't see very often. And he came in with a big smile. And I looked at that man, and I could have hit him right square in the face. Now, nobody knew this, and Gordon didn't know it for a long time, but I was so shocked at my reaction when it happened that I never will forget it, and this is why I tell the story. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And when I did that, it was just like, I never could trust you anyway, you character. Here you are, home sober. You know. Well, when I got to my next Al-Anon meeting, I had this all figured out, and I had something that I wanted to say at that time. Now, this was the meeting where they had AA in the other room. This was over 18 years ago, and there might have been 8 or 10 of us, and most of us had husbands in the other room at that time going to AA meetings. And I said, do all of you live all the rest of your life scared to death your husband's going to get drunk every time he leaves the house? When they told me yes, then I was going to have the divorce put back on the calendar that I had had set aside a few months previous to that, and I had had it. And of course they looked at me and said, no, we don't. And I knew they didn't. I knew by looking at their face that they didn't. And I said, all right, what do you do to overcome the fear that he's going to drink again? Well, now I've been hearing the steps every night in AA meeting and what Al-Anon meetings within that short time that I had gone to. But it was the first time the steps took on a meaning, because they said, well, you know, you've been here long enough to know that faith replaces fear. Well, I had an answer to that. I said, don't ask me to have faith in Gordon. I said, I've got faith in Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, I know it works. But I can't have faith in him. And so I don't have any faith in myself or anything. But least of all, do I have faith in him? And they said, well, that isn't what we're talking about. That isn't what we're talking about. And this is where I take the liberty. Herein, I think, lies our greatest problem, fear, the awful fear that we all live with, and we live with it for so long. The other problem is what I was saying at that time. Now, I don't know how long it took me to realize what happened at this time. But what I was saying to these Al-Anon gals was, just get him sober. That's my problem. Then, when he's sober, my faith will come from him. My security will come from him out here to me. My peace of mind will come from him. And then I will be all right. And that's our problem. And what has to happen to the non-alcoholic? What has to happen to the non-alcoholic that they will look at themselves instead of the alcoholic? Now, to me, this is what Al-Anon means. But something has to happen, and that's what happened to me that day, because when Gordon went down to say hi to Dad, he told me where he was going. He had every right to go. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. I was an absolute mess inside when he got home, and he was sober. I couldn't turn to anybody and say, no wonder I'm a wreck. He's drunk. No wonder I'm having a problem with the children. Look at their father. They have a drunk for a father. My excuse was taken away, and I just stood there with egg on my face. That was the first time that had happened to me in a long, long time. When this began to take on a meaning to me, when I saw what happened to that day, at least to me, for the first time, I went to an Al-Anon meeting and I said, I don't want to feel like this anymore. Not what can I do to help him stay sober, but I want to do something. That was the beginning of turning away from him and looking at me. And I'm a firm believer that something has to happen to every non-alcoholic to help them to see themselves and realize that they have a problem with themselves just as much as something has to happen to the alcoholic to make him realize that he is an alcoholic and wants to do something about it. And that day, I want to do something about it. Now, it ain't all that easy. But that happened that day. When they told me faith would replace fear, there was nothing that I wanted more than to quit worrying about whether Gordon was going to drink or not. I would have done anything that they told me. So that was my first thing that I began to look for, to have some faith in a higher power. This was the beginning for me in order to look for this. Now, this is the question. What has to happen to help us? With alcoholism, being a family illness as it is, as alcoholism progresses, and usually we are in complete ignorance of what it is, we have one problem, and that's the alcoholic. And everything goes into this one problem. Well, as time goes on, it becomes easier and easier and easier to blame every miserable thing that ever happens on the alcoholic. Well, obviously it's a problem. Everybody knows it. It draws everybody in all around it. It's making all kinds of disturbances. So it's a very logical thing. This is the problem. And if you just get sober, we'll never have another problem. Now, we keep saying that until you believe it, you see, and then we believe it. And then the alcoholic gets sober, and someday, one day, he does something that is just as stinking as anything he ever did when he's drinking, and he's cold sober. and you don't know what to do about it. There he is, absolutely sober. He hasn't been drinking a thing. But still, this has happened. Well, you think about it, and what you can go to a sponsor, you know, and tell him. Then the sponsor looks at you and he says, well, Priscilla, aren't you grateful that Gordon's sober? Well, of course I am, but, you know, there's a problem. Well, it has to be in Gordon because all the problems for the years have been from him, and I want him to do something about it. But you go to an Al-Anon meeting and you say, do you know what Gordon did? Well, they might listen for a little while, and then somebody says, Priscilla, what step are you working on? Well, you're not going to like it, but you're going to realize that they are right. They are right. This is the beginning of looking at yourself. This is the beginning of this kind of thing. Now, a new person comes into Al-Anon. She's been fighting this problem, maybe for a long, long time. And the first thing she hears is the first step. And somebody reads it and says, you're powerless over alcohol. Your life has become unmanageable. Then some real good Al-Anon says, now, if you're in here to help your husband, you're in the wrong place. We're in here to help ourselves. Well, I think this is about the unkindest thing that one Al-Anon can do to another. The heck you are. You're in there to help him stay sober. As one wife to another, I don't care what you say you came into Al-Anon for. You know, I'm coming apart. I've got to do something to help myself. You still way back there. You want that guy to get sober and stay sober. So we have to sneak up on the new people. You know, kind of work around this a little bit. Particularly when they're talking to you for the first or second time and they're going on and on and on about the alcoholic, you know. Don't ever say, did you ever think of taking your own inventory? Well, what spouse of an alcoholic ever thought of taking their own inventory? No, you have to sneak up on that one too. You have to sneak up on that one too. We just don't operate like that because we've got one problem. And this is the person that drinks. And there's one answer: to get sober and we'll never have another problem. This is the way we see it. And something has to happen to us to help us to see ourselves in this situation. And this is the beginning of it in Al-Anon. Now, those that don't go to Al-Anon, I feel terribly, terribly sorry for. I think you can tell an Al-Anon member from a non-alcoholic who is going to Alcoholics Anonymous, even by just the expression on her face. These are personal opinions. I don't think that we can go to Al-Anon, to AA, no matter how much we say and sincerely mean it. Those 12 steps are the most wonderful thing I have ever heard in my life. They will take care of any problem. Anybody can live that way. If you're the spouse of an alcoholic, an Alcoholics Anonymous, you listen for the alcoholic. Even subconsciously, it has to be. You see the sober alcoholic up there, and maybe someday you hear somebody talking, and he'll say, now, believe me, this is the alcoholic. Believe me, you have to write your inventory. Take it from me. I know. I had this experience, and you've got to write your inventory. And I think, oh, my Lord, I've never seen Gordon write his inventory. I know he hasn't. Now I've got a problem. Now I've got a problem. Now, I don't know whether to go to his sponsor and say something. I don't think I dare say anything on my own. Well, maybe some night after dinner or something. Boy, what am I going to do? Right away. This is second nature. I've been trying for a long time to help him, and I still want to help him. Or you hear somebody get up and talk, you know, and everything has been just lovely, and for the first time in his life, he's got a Cadillac. Well, I don't have any Cadillac, and Gordon's been sober the same length of time, you know. There I go again. He hadn't been drinking all that time, I'd have probably had a Cadillac in. Now I've got another problem, and it's Gordon's fault. It's Gordon's fault. But the best one, I think, is the amend step. I don't care what they say in New York, I still think the wife of the alcoholic put in the amend step. Because if there's anyone that has been done unto, it's a spouse of an alcoholic, you see? Well, I wish Gordon were here, but I'll say it anyway because I know he'll know that I will. He's been sober for over 18 years, and he's never told me he was sorry for any miserable thing he ever did the whole time he was drinking. And that's the truth. That's the truth. So I could have a real problem that would really be his fault, wouldn't it? If he didn't tell me that he was sorry. I could also be just as miserable as I make up my mind to be. I learned this in Al-Anon. And the way I look at it, with the help of Al-Anon, if Gordon wanted to be what he was when he was drinking, he would still be drinking. I feel that every day he is sober, he is making amends for what he did when he was drinking. It's a terrible thing to hold on to resentments, and I got off of this real easy and very early in Al-Anon, and I am so grateful for that particular meeting, and I still remember where it was that night, where somebody said, if you want, the subject was probably resentments in Al-Anon, see. If you want to hang on to resentments, go ahead. But your husband, and they were referring probably to the meeting in the other room there, you see, your husband is sober and he's happy and he won't know how miserable you are, and go ahead and be miserable. Well, I was very new in Al-Anon and Gordon was very newly sober, and my reaction was, if I was going to hurt anymore over anything, and it wasn't going to hurt him, the heck with it. Now, if I had thought, you see, the other way around, if it would hurt him, I'd have hung on to that for a good long time if it was going to make him miserable. This is the way I operated. Anything I could do to get back at him for what he was doing to me was the way we were living. A natural reaction, even in sobriety. What's going to change that? That's why it's a family illness. This is one of the first few things that got through to me. I was thinking, you know, we talk about the alcoholic taking his inventory. You know, you hear this in AA and everything. And I thought, you know, here I am, we again. But as spouses, we sit there and think, gee, that's fine. You know, like you go to your AA meetings for the first time. And the first time Gordon gets up and says, I'm Gordon, and I can remember when this was. I'm Gordon, and I'm an alcoholic. Oh, brother, we got the first step made, you know. And then you wait for the others to come along, to know how you are progressing on the program. This is a very natural thing. This is a natural way of helping and taking care of things and all the problems that you have to take care of. So this is the way we come in into AA, and what is to make this any different? Something has to intervene, or this is going to be an old habit pattern that we go on and on and on with until something happens to help us turn and look to ourselves. And this is our problem. As I see it, this is our problem of coming to this point where we can begin to see that alcoholism is a two-way street. This is hard, I think, for us to see that alcoholism is a two-way street, that everybody needs help, that everybody has our problems. Not that we caused alcoholism. This is number one. Alcoholism is an illness that we didn't cause. But to know how much we contributed to it. I think somewhere along the line, we cross over a line through the fear and the resentment, but principally the fear. I love him. I can't see him destroy himself. How many have you talked to in Al-Anon, talking about the first step, letting go? But I can't see him destroy himself. This is a very sincere thing. This is a very sincere thing. But somewhere along the line, we get in there and we're pitching more and more and more till we're running the whole show. But we don't see this. We don't see this. This is a very logical thing. See? This is where I say you never can apply logic to alcoholism. This is our problem. It's also very logical. But somewhere along the line, then we're in there pitching at everything. And personally, I think you get to Alcoholics Anonymous in spite of us, not because of us. In spite of us. We can't get out of the way, and everything is wrong. I think this is one way when you're talking to a new person, and she's going on and on and on, and you want to get her attention. And somewhere along the line you can say, yes, and everything you did was wrong. Nothing worked, did it? You can almost hear her draw in her breath and say, well, no, that's right. Well, there's a reason for that. Alcoholism isn't our problem. Alcoholism isn't our problem. We work on the wrong problem. We work on the drinking problem. Ours is living in this situation. It isn't our circumstances. It's our attitude toward them. It's our attitude. A change in our attitude is of boundless help to the alcoholic, and often is the force for good that inspires the alcoholic to join AA. How do we change our attitude? Personally, I don't think we can work any of the 12 steps unless we take the first one without exception. Just as the alcoholic doesn't stay sober if he has any reservations about the first step, the same thing applies to us and our peace of mind and serenity and our attitude. While we're looking at the alcoholic, we cannot look at ourselves. This is our problem. Until we turn, until we begin to let go and look at ourselves, then our attitude changes. First, to realize that we're not responsible for the drinking, the guilt that we have. Never too sure. I didn't stay with Gordon because I loved him so much. I was afraid that if I left him, he'd sober up and he was a good working alcoholic, producing alcoholic, and he'd marry somebody else and I'd be damned if I'd get out of there and let that happen. And I didn't know this until I got into Al-Anon. I don't like the expression, oh, you non-alcoholics, you are so wonderful and I don't know what we'd have done without you. I don't like that. I don't like that expression at all. Because I know what I was like, and I know that I'm not too different than any other spouse of an alcoholic, because we all go through the same things, the resentment and the fear and the retaliation. This is why we don't leave out any steps in the 12 steps of Al-Anon, such as the inventory and the amends. The greatest shock I had in Al-Anon was one time when some woman said, you know, the first amend that I had to make after I came to Al-Anon was to my alcoholic. And I thought, oh, brother. And she said, I didn't realize what this was all about, and I wouldn't have reacted the way I had if I had realized that alcoholism was an illness. This was another lesson that I learned. This was the beginning of seeing alcoholism as a two-way street that we don't realize, because there's one problem. Another thing, I think that in order to begin to change our attitude when we come into Al-Anon, we have to know something about alcoholism. What are you going to release? When in Al-Anon they say, let go. What are you going to release if you don't know what it is that you are releasing? I think another problem that we have, that we think that the problem is the bottle. That when he's drinking, we have a problem. When he isn't drinking, we don't have a problem. And this is where we trip up so much. This is why when they're not drinking and they do some of these things, we are even more disturbed. If they're drinking, we can understand it. If they have liquor in them. And then to learn that the bottle isn't the problem, it's the person that takes to the bottle is the problem. I think any of us who are non-alcoholic, if we've lived with somebody that is forcing a sobriety without the help of Alcoholics Anonymous or help of some kind, and suddenly you've got somebody that's a lot more difficult to live with than your drunk was. Well, this is alcoholism. It can be as complicated if you want to look into it, or as simple as sharing our experience, strength, and hope with one another to learn something about alcoholism. So you put it all over here in one bundle and let go of it, and to help to let go, realizing that you are powerless over alcohol. And it's my life that has become unmanageable, and if I want to do something about it, I have to begin to look the other way. This is pointed up to me by an example of the new person when they will come in to Al-Anon, and very hesitantly, because they love him and they don't want to talk about him, but there's something that's bothering. And someone will say, "Does your husband lie?" And everybody laughs a little, and that's all they have to do. "Well, you mean all of your husband's wives lie?" Yes, that's part of alcoholism. Well, then she can put that over here instead of releasing the bottle part of it. Then when he's dry, cold sober, dry, he lies to her. And then that's another problem. You get put the bottle over here, but then you work on the other problem. Now, what is the matter over here, you see? Just as you hear so many say, "Well, now I know my husband has a problem with his drinking, but I also think he has a mental problem." So you let the drinking go and you work on getting him to a psychologist, you see, for the other problems, while you're releasing the drinking and you're still in there pitching. We'll find something to do no matter what, unless we know something about alcoholism so it can go over here. Now, you're not going to like the lies and the manipulation, but you don't have to take it way down deep inside and mourn about it and be terribly hurt and go through, "I don't know whether he loves me or whether he doesn't love me," type of thing. If we can put it all over here in one bundle and let go, change our attitude toward the whole situation. This is the beginning of looking at ourselves in Al-Anon, to know something about alcoholism, to accept the fact that it's a disease, it's a progressive disease, and the end result is an insanity or death. We don't want to be realistic either. You don't have in the whole market on rationalization, resentment, manipulation. There's no difference on either side of this. Our not facing the problem, not wanting to look at the problem, hiding our head in the sand, it applies to both the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. This is why the same treatment is necessary. The only difference in ours, the sooner we forget about alcohol and look at the real problem, which is ourself and our attitude toward it, we are going to be beginning on the way to getting well ourselves. This is the difference in Al-Anon, where we don't have to concentrate on alcohol. We blame everything on alcohol. If he's sober for 18 years, we turn around and say, "There's his alcoholic thinking again." Right away, it's related to alcohol. And I bless my husband. For the first time I heard him say that he began to realize one day that he was using this, and he lost his temper because he was an alcoholic, and he did this because he was an alcoholic. And he said one day he realized that he did that because he was Gordon Cleveland, not because he was an alcoholic. And the sooner we who are non-alcoholic begin to realize this about alcoholism, the better off we are going to be. There sets up the old fear. We like, in Al-Anon, we like to get into this dry drunk bit, you know? Now, what's a dry drunk? Now, how do they act? What difference does it make as far as his wife are concerned? I'm just as powerless over his dry drunk, if that's what you want to call it, or just his plain stinking thinking, or just the fact that he's Gordon Cleveland, and this is the one thing he's been doing for 36 years, and he's going to continue to do it, and I'm powerless over it. Isn't that where acceptance comes in? And remember that acceptance works on both sides. Acceptance works on both sides. Maybe you married an alcoholic who was well along the line someplace in the progression of alcoholism. And suddenly he sobers up, and you're seeing who he is for the first time, and he's also taking a look at you for the first time, really. It works both ways. Or even the fact that I was 19 and Gordon was 20 when we were married. So we had a long time. We had good drinking years together and all of this bit. But then you come into Alcoholics Anonymous, and then there is a change in your way of thinking and your attitude. And there has to be acceptance both ways. You know, as a wife of an alcoholic, after all, having been done unto, there are many things that are due me. You know, this, there's your logic again. You know, this is a logical thing. After all I went through and all I put up with, you know, and as you say in AA, I don't know what we'd have done without these good non-alcohol. I'll buy that, you know, I'll buy that. So here we are again. Like, okay, so now you're sober. I always knew you could do it. Now there's many things that we haven't done. Let's begin doing them. And suddenly he's way off in left field in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, going to town. There are so many adjustments to make, but I think the one thing from where I sit is this thing. Now suddenly he is sober and he's going to be an entirely different person. He's going to be all of these things that I ever wanted, the knight in shining armor. And then the awful thing, you know, maybe going back another 10 or 15 years, the great lover, you know. So here suddenly, here I am, just as miserable as I want to make up my mind to be. We all have our own opinions. I like, again, what my husband says. I don't think we change very much. I think we become what we always really wanted to be. Now, I don't know what my husband wanted to be. He's going to grow in his program, in his own time, and in his own way. I hopefully will accept that. Hopefully he will accept that I have a program where I can grow in my own time and in my own way. Here you have two people going in the same direction, but they're both individuals. I think Al-Anon helps us to be an individual. Take it from the very first. I think, to me, this is a very exciting thing. When I came into Al-Anon, we didn't have our literature. We used the big AA book, and it's heavy. And we read part of chapter 5 and how it works. The first night, I was asked to read the 12 steps. I can remember my hands were like 8 or 10 in a room, little tiny room here, and there was a desk there. 8 or 10 in the room, this big book in my hand, and my palms of my hands were wringing wet, my hands were icy cold, and that book was shaking on the desk, and I could hear my voice bouncing back from the wall in the room. I couldn't even read hardly from the book, the 12 steps. So then later on they asked you to lead a meeting, just as it works in Alcoholics Anonymous. The first time they asked me to lead, we used to use the 12 and 12 oftentimes, and I thought, well, a third step, you see, this faith bit. And not only that, the week before, a girl had come rushing in this room all upset, and she was a little late, and she had sneaked out from her practicing alcoholic, and her name was Priscilla. And until I got here, well, two Priscillas, the cat and another Priscilla. Oh, that's an awful way of putting it. I had met some friends who have a cat named Priscilla, and then I met a darling Priscilla here. But I don't have that experience very often, and Priscilla had come in, and I thought, oh, I wanted to have a message for Priscilla next week. Well, I forgot about this Priscilla for the first time, and I thought about another Priscilla, and I had the whole meeting on the third step. Then I realized that people were listening to me, and I began to realize that maybe I had a mind of my own. Regardless of what my alcoholic might have been telling me for the last X number of years, I did have a mind of my own. And of course, the fact that I'm Republican and he's Democrat didn't help a hell of a lot when you've got a practicing alcoholic, you know? But to learn that with the 12 steps, if I wanted to be honest with the 12 steps. And then what I did was motivated in this way, that I would be all right, not to get back at him, any way I could. But to be myself, that I wanted to be, I wouldn't be hurting Gordon because I would be trying to be as honest as I knew how. And to let go, the greatest thing, if you can put it this way, and I guess it isn't a good statement to make, but the thing that stands out most to me in Al-Anon was to realize that I didn't have to carry Gordon's burdens. That these things that he would take care of, that I couldn't do it anyway, and this had been the problem, but that if I took care of myself and did the things that I had to do, I think my first prayers, and I wasn't a praying person, was when I'm trying to let go, and you're hearing this every night, was, please God, let me know what I am supposed to do for me and the family. What am I supposed? Because I went through all the things. I remember asking my sponsor, now, do you think that I should go to work? Gordon hasn't been working. It's been about 6 weeks now, you know, and you know what she did. Looked at me and said, well, Priscilla, you decide, you know, if you think you should. This kind of thing, you know, if I go to work, then he won't have any responsibility. Now, maybe if I don't go to work, he'll have the and this will keep him sober. This is always a tag, right? And this will keep him sober. I don't care what you're doing. This is always a tag on there as long as you're looking at the alcoholic. Like, if I want to go to work and that would give me peace of mind and this is what I would want to do and this was my motivation, go to work. But all of these things that I had to figure out were the things that drove me closer and closer to Al-Anon and began to realize I had to figure them out for myself, and I didn't know what he was going to do, drunk or sober. I am well aware that it's easy for me to get up here and talk with a sober alcoholic, and I know that you, those of you who have a practicing alcoholic, I can hear your thoughts. But one thing I am firmly convinced of, drunk or sober, these are the principles that we go by. It's the only thing that will save your life. I'm talking about the non-alcoholic. Is to realize that our problem isn't alcoholism, our problem is living with it. So we come into Al-Anon, we realize that we have been fighting the wrong problem. We let go of alcoholism, everything that goes with it. Then we can be restored to sanity. Then ask for guidance. Not, please, dear God, get him sober. But please, dear God, what is my role? This is what will help get him sober. This will at least give him a chance to make a decision. Get off his back. Give him a chance to make a decision. This is what Al-Anon does for the alcoholic. And then we begin to get some peace of mind and serenity. Then we make a decision, something we've never been able to do. Wait till children get old enough to see their father, then I will leave. Well, wait till I get through high school, then I'll make a decision. Well, if they can just finish college, then I will make a decision. We can't make a decision. We begin it. Then make a decision. Am I going to stay or am I going to leave? Once I know something about this situation, what it is all about. And I have this privilege of making a decision based on many things that only I know about and can bring into the picture in order to make a decision. I love him. With the help of Al-Anon, I am going to stay. Then you're in a put-up and shut-up position. You don't go back to the meeting and go on and on and on about what he's doing. You have decided to stay, taking all of these things into consideration. It's a progressive illness. It always gets worse. It never gets better unless he's doing something about alcoholism, not gastritis or his bad back or his ulcers, but alcoholism. You know, this old bit of, oh, he admits he's an alcoholic and he's out drunk, you know. You're like, well, so what? Does he want to do something about it? Now I'm taking a real chance. But remember, non-alcoholics, we're always being manipulated.
We never take direct action. We always react to the alcoholic. Think about it. This is what happened. So a change in our attitude is of boundless help to this person that we love so much and often is the force for good. I think one thing that we fail to realize is really the strength that is in our program of Al-Anon. The force for motivation to help the alcoholic, to let him go, release him to the extent that he can see that his problem is alcoholism and not his wife or his children or that SOB that he is working for or the first wife that took everything that he had, but that his problem is alcoholism. Help him see it. Give him an opportunity by getting out of the way. This is where the motivation comes in, where Al-Anon is concerned. Why we are looking for our own peace of mind and serenity, sanity, our health, all well motivated. This is what helps the person we love to realize that he has a problem and wants to do something about it. We are very, very blessed and fortunate people. Gordon and I have been married 36 and a half years. So you see, I really did love him. I really did love him. And I do love him. And why, after all of these years, Al-Anon, why does it still mean so much? Because it's a way of living. This is where you get in. You're not there for the alcoholic. It's a way of life. And I always thought, and I think I got off of that, the way we could sit in an AA meeting and say, oh, that's right, you know, and that inventory step is a great thing, and the amend step is a great thing. And I thought, here we sit, man and wife, alcoholic and non-alcoholic, with all the things that have happened over an X number of years, all the things that have been said, all the hurts on both sides, what I did to him in retaliation or thought I was doing him and did to myself in retaliation, all of these things, and I sit there waiting for my husband to take his inventory and to make amends. And I thought, that doesn't add up, because you're two people living together. It has to be on both sides. It has to be on both sides to have what there is in AA and Al-Anon to give us. This is the thing you lose. This is what you see on the face of an Al-Anon member who is working the program. This is what you see. An acceptance and a surrender to the Al-Anon program. This is what there is. I know that if an alcoholic is going to stay sober, he is going to stay sober. I realize these things and I understand it. But to have what we have really been given, where Al-Anon is a program for a good marriage. You see, this is what it becomes. Alcohol isn't our problem in that sense. This is what it means, and this is what there is to be gotten from the program. And this is why I don't go in detail of what I used to be like, what happened, and what I like now, what I'm like now. Because there is so much given to us in Al-Anon, and you only get out of it what you put in it. And when you turn from the alcoholic to yourself, then you are drawn closer together than you have ever been before. This is where communication starts. You know the old cry, we can't communicate? Well, you'll never communicate with a practicing alcoholic. Start there. Communication we can get into, and there's all kinds of things that we do. But the communication we're looking for does not happen with a practicing alcoholic. This is where Al-Anon saves our life, changes our attitude. Then when the day comes, there is the right thing to say at the right time, and you will know it. But to really communicate, this comes from the two people working a program together and the acceptance of one another and looking at ourselves as honestly as we know how. This is what brings us together, and you'll have a closeness that you've never had before, because within this love is the respect for the other guy. This is what we really mean by love, not the possessive, fearful thing that we had. but respect for one another to grow in your own time and in your own way, the privacy of each individual. And this is given to us through our two programs. And I am so grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous for the program of Al-Anon, and so grateful that I was invited to Al-Anon at my very first AA meeting, and I was able to start out this way, because my husband said Priscilla and I would not be together today if she didn't go to Al-Anon. And I accept this, and I know it's true. And this is why I'm so grateful. And I'm particularly happy to have been here and to have the opportunity of talking to you about it. And thank you so much for the wonderful time I've had and the wonderful people that I have met. I sincerely mean this. It has just meant so much to me. And here I think, to me now, I'm very naive, but here is an example of a beautiful Southern lady. I think today with her flower and her pink. And it's been my idea of the South, and it was just a pleasure to even see her today. And thank you so much. And I will sit down and I'll enjoy the rest of the convention. Thank you.
Wasn't that great? You really gave us something to think about. We will now take a 10-minute break and come back for the Alateen meeting. We will not close at this time, but we'll close after the Alateen meeting. Thank you. All right.